Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the Bear Podcast with Mike Pusateri and Mike Prasnowski. Guys, how are you?
Doing great, right. Andy.
Doing all right. Not too bad.
Join this Victory Tuesday.
Yes, we have a rare Sunday win for the Bears.
Yes.
And a rare Sunday home. They didn't quite make it 400 days between home wins.
It was the Texans game last year, their last Sunday win.
Yep.
Wow.
That's too bad.
But they did it.
A lot to be proud of.
So as always, you could find the guys on their various socials and other things. Just look at the post. It's all there for you.
But I got it in.
All right there.
Start clicking. Although we look forward to the day, Mike Pusateri, when your strike is over, and you tell us you have a list as long as your arm of all the movies and TV shows we're going to get to see you on.
I do have a small list that I am kind of waiting on. Yes, so I'll break that out as soon as our strike is over.
There you go. It's a good tease.
Whenever that is.
So, I mean, the big story of the game, the thing everybody was talking about, the thing that led all the, I think it led the national news, was Cairo getting his extra point blocked.
Yeah, that was it.
What a bummer.
Yeah. Now, did you have him going perfect, including extra points?
Yes. Oh, he wasn't going to miss anything.
Nothing. Okay.
The dream is dead.
Devastating.
It's
okay.
Fault.
If he had gone perfect, it would have set up for a repeat of Gary Anderson missing in the playoffs. So, you know.
Cairo would have shanked the Super Bowl winner.
Yeah. Right.
Hit the center in the ass with it. Now he's free. Free to just now the Flus is free to just let him kick from 65, 70 yards. Streak's over. Just go for it.
Let's go to 80.
You're never not in field goal range with Cairo Santos.
Exactly.
No, I guess maybe the actual story was the first Bears home win in 392 days was led by a quarterback who last year, what was the stat? Was in his final game at Shepherd. Played before 2,190 people. I know that Soldier's Field has the smallest capacity in the NFL, but I think that fits more than 2,190 people by a little bit.
Yeah, I think
just slightly.
Yeah. And, you know, so I had in our pregame predictions, Tyson starting four games, winning at least four games, winning three. He's 1-1.
Yeah.
And I'm just pissed off I didn't pick the only reason I didn't pick the Bears is I didn't know they were going to start the Raiders were going to start Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, that was a nice.
I would have picked Iowa over fucking Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer. Where's my man AOC?
Yes. He's got a personal losing streak now. What is it? It's 13 games now.
Oh.
See,
he is, though, the answer to a ridiculous trivia question. Who's the only Bear quarterback to throw for 300 yards three games in a row?
Yeah, Brian Hoyer.
It's Brian Hoyer.
Wow.
In 2016. And that's his last win was in there. It's against the Lions. So, yeah, the Bear fans should have fond memories of Brian Hoyer. He was, you know.
Lighten him up.
He was like,
the ones on the north side of Chicago probably weren't watching too intently during that time.
He was like Brian Greasy 2.0.
Can't beat that.
But yeah, Josh McDaniels did the Bears a favor by playing the immobile and now erratic Brian Hoyer. I mean, even when he had open guys, the ball was nowhere near them.
Can we like start a GoFundMe for NFL owners not to hire Josh McDaniels? I mean, have they not figured this out yet? This just doesn't work out, guys. We know you're trying to capture that Belichick magic, but it just ain't there.
He gets to be the offensive coordinator for Bill next year in San Diego. That's my prediction.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Back together again.
You mean L.A., by the way.
Sorry, L.A. It's not old habits.
Okay.
We're doing Remember This Crap on the Chargers and the over. Well, we'll be right, though, when we call him San Diego in that one.
Oh, that's true.
As long as we're past tense. Because the Bears have never played the Chargers in L.A. They've only played them. Although that might not be true. I have to look. They may have played the original iteration of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Right.
I bet they did, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the Bears started, a guy with very little experience against a guy with a lot of experience. And if you had pulled somebody off the street and asked them which one was playing his second NFL game and which one was playing his 50th or whatever Brian Hoyer's played, they would have picked the wrong dude.
Yeah, they would have.
They would have.
Now, the thing about Bears fans, all of us, we are backup quarterback experts. Nobody. We may not know interim coaches.
Right.
But we know backup quarterbacks. Nobody is. We're basically sommeliers of backup quarterbacking.
That's a really good point. Yeah, we make up for our lack of knowledge of interim coaches with our deep, deep knowledge of backup QBs.
And especially bad backup quarterbacking. We have seen a lot of it. And we didn't see that Sunday.
Like, no.
That's what you want your backup quarterback to do, is what Tyson Bagent did. You run as much of the offense as you can, and you don't fuck it up. And don't piss down your leg. Don't all Jonathan Quinn in the huddle. And he did all of that. And he even made some plays. He made some really nice third down throws when you're like, oh, get the punter ready. And next thing you know, the Bears still had the ball. It was impressive. Now, do I want him quarterbacking? Do I want to push this luck of all that long? No, I don't. It'd be nice if Justin could get back here relatively soon.
You're going to get it for at least another Sunday, right? For sure.
Which, honestly, I think
if
you're Justin, I'm sure to you it's important to get back for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're a football player. You want to play football. Number two, this is a year you've got to prove yourself to get your contract. But coming back when you're not 100%, I mean, you're never going to be 100% healthy, but when you're just barely healthy enough to play and you don't play well, that's going to get held against you double.
When you can't comfortably grip a football with your thumb being dislocated,
Let Tyson get the Nick Bosa, Khalil Mack sandwiches for a week. You can come back and play in the Superdome's a nice place to play. Play there. But I think it was important, as stupid as it is, I think it was important for the Floos to come right out and just basically say Justin's the starting quarterback. As soon as he's healthy, he's playing. Because there are people who want to immediately cook up a quarterback controversy.
Is it not cooking in Chicago
already? Yes, of course it is.
Oh, okay.
And I cooked.
You should hear the sports talk radio calls.
I'm sure.
Bajans. Why don't we play this? Hey, Bajans.
Hey, Bajans. Tyler Bajans.
Is he French? Tyler Baguette.
Because I don't want no French quarterbacks.
We tried that with Brian Hoyer, and you saw how that worked.
Yeah,
and of course, in my column, I had the alternative quarterback controversy, which is Tyson could start a quarterback controversy that he's not even involved in. Mm-hmm. And that's simply if the Bear offense, if all of a sudden you look at it, you're like, you know, this actually thing kind of works. And then Justin comes back and it doesn't work. They're going to be like, well, we may have found one of the reasons.
Yeah. Well, be that as it may, I was thinking about this. The Bears have been trying to find a franchise quarterback since, most people would say, Sid Luckman, right? I would say Jim McMahon, but most fans would say it's Sid Luckman. Okay. How incredible would it be if, after all the resources the Bears have spent literally for decades with first-round draft picks, trades, free agent signings, everything they've poured into trying to find a franchise quarterback – what if they actually find a guy who was a one-star recruit, a Division II quarterback who was completely undrafted, and he becomes the Bears franchise? Wouldn't that be the most Bears thing of all time?
It really would be. It would fit a narrative I've had for a long time, in that, like, if and when the Bears ever do win their next Super Bowl, it's going to be because they fall just ass backwards into one. They're not really going to plan for it. They're just going to, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It adds to the frustration of Ryan Pace at his introductory press conference way back when, saying, every year we're going to add a quarterback every year. At some I draft one, find one on the street, something, because you never know where they'll come from. And they just never did it. He drafted two.
No.
Draft Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
They had Tyler Bray.
Right.
Yeah, Tyler's our developmental quarterback. He's 40 years old. That doesn't count. Well,
and we've seen, look, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah.
He's basically,
can't find these guys.
Basically undrafted.
Basically undrafted, yeah.
You know, Tyson Bajan, TB17, as I like to call him. TB12 was the 199th pick.
Right.
And everybody saw him play. He played in real games on actual TV.
Right.
And I never saw his dead arm wrestling.
Yeah.
Just wrestling teeth. Isn't his dad a dentist? I think Tom Brady Sr. is a dentist. Yeah, it would be very Bear. What would be very Bear would be for Tyson to play well and for them to be like, we found him. We finally found the guy. Mm-hmm. And then next year he comes out and it's like, oh God, he's bad.
He's terrible.
Yeah, how did that happen? I mean, the reason that I picked the Raiders was I just assumed that Max Crosby was going to spend most of the day giving Tyson colonoscopies, just repeatedly. Yeah. He had one sack. Right. He made like two plays.
Yeah.
And he's that like, was Tyson, why the Bears... Tyson,
he's like, Tyson, would you like Cologuard or just a traditional colonoscopy? I got both your choice. But you're getting one regardless.
Some of it was... the game plan, clearly. I mean, there's a reason they throw lots of quick passes, because then Max is like takes two steps and goes, shit, I got to go chase this instead of chasing the quarterback. But it's not all that. They actually did block him. I mean, they did shuffle the offensive line around. It looks like they finally have decided Lucas Patrick is healthy enough to play center and Cody doesn't have to try to snap the ball, you know, at Tyson's kneecaps and then is over his head. And so they moved Tevin to right guard, because Nate Davis is out. And that actually gave them a right side that they could just consistently run behind. Especially when they brought out bring the 1,000-year-old man, Mercedes Lewis, in, who can really block still for a tight end. And they just were ramming it right at the Raiders, which was, you know, did my heart a lot of good.
Yeah.
The Raiders, though, they're the Raiders. They never seem to try to, like, just take away the short pass. Like, overplay it and make Tyson throw the ball down the field. And so we didn't get to see it.
Right.
So we're still, it's weird, 2 weeks in, we're like, is his arm bad or is it not? Because he really hasn't had to do it. He threw the the two long passes against the Vikings, the one they got pass interference on, the other one that was the 50-yard pass he threw 30 yards.
Well, we did see one evidence of maybe him not having that great of an arm when on the last play of the half you had Nathan Peterman come in and throw the didn't even throw the deep ball, but attempt the deep ball.
So I heard a I don't remember what it was. I heard a take on that because it's funny. The knock on Nathan Peterman when he came out of Pitt was that he didn't have a very good arm. So that's not a great sign if you're bringing him in to throw it. They said there are teams, and they used an example of the Packers in a game when Jordan Love was playing, who has a great arm, and the Packers put Kurt Beckert, Beckert, he played for the Cubs for a week. Played for the Bears for a week, I think. LaFleur had him throw a Hail Mary at the end of a half, and the reason he did it, and this got to make you feel good if you're Kurt Beckert, was he was worried that his inexperienced young quarterback was going to get smoked trying to throw the Hail Mary. And he's like, we cannot have Kurt playing the whole second half. So Kurt can be the one who gets smoked on the Hail Mary at the end of the half.
And yeah, I can see that.
And you got the same guy over there, Luke Getsy, who was on the sideline for that, basically like, hey, Nate, why don't you give this a toss? See what she can do. And he did get smoked.
Yeah.
Or it could also be that they're just like, well, you know, because it's funny, they actually asked Tyson, and he said, they asked him afterwards, he said, oh, I got a cannon. There is no lack of confidence in Tyson Bajan.
Your line was funny there. What, does he mean a camera?
Yeah. I got a cannon. It's like the old Stevie Wonder Saturday Night Live bit where he's playing tennis. So we don't know. I have a feeling we'll find out, because I have a feeling the Chargers will be like, okay, this we're going to leave this part of the field open for you. See what you can do with it.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll be back here in a week talking about the 500 yards that Tyson Bajan threw for as he lit up the Chargers.
Well, right. And the Chargers have now they have actual game film, and maybe they even have Jim Harbaugh's guy, you know, working for them.
That's right. He bought some tickets. Was he sitting on the 40-yard line?
He might have been. Yeah.
At least that guy was buying. He was buying good seats. He wasn't skimping. He spent real money.
Hey, the leaders and best. You know, you're going to get good seats.
What's that? He said he has a completely made up name too.
Stallions is his last name. I keep thinking
Connor
of why
Stallions.
Connor Stallions.
Yeah. I think that's half the reason that Harbaugh hired him.
Yeah.
That guy, cool name. You're in.
Yeah, wouldn't it be perfect with the Bears hire Jim Harbaugh next year to be their coach, and he just leaves Michigan in an ash heap of probation?
Well, his old buddy, what's your deal, Pete Carroll, did the exact thing at USC.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it's like, oh, sorry. Well, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Enjoy probation. I'm going to go get a lot more money, and there's no probation in the NFL. I'm going to go there instead.
Yeah, right. There's a recruiting violation, so I'll just go over here.
I don't know if you saw it, but the biggest award any Bear has won, I guess, since Mitch won MVP, the Nickelodeon Valuable Player of the Dante Foreman won Angry Runs on Good Morning Football. So.
Yes. And Mark Sanchez called attitude runs, right? Is that what he was calling them all day?
Is that what he called them?
Wasn't that it?
Sanchez got quite the hair going. I don't know if you saw when they shot the booth. That's
nice hair.
That's a lot of curly. Yeah.
Got a pretty good hair.
I'm glad you brought him up, because I would have forgot. His shtick is like, he's like, I don't even think the right. No, it's not Walmart. It's like TJ Maxx, Tony Romo, where he like laughs.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
During the plays, and he makes weird like noises and things while the things are going on. Like Tony, like listen how excited I am, because he really enjoyed the third down run that Bajan had, where he ran out of bounds and then he waved for the crowd to cheer.
Yeah,
Sanchez loved it. He was. He's not a terrible analyst. Actually, that was not a bad.
I agree.
Him
I
and
wasn't
Kevin
bad at all.
Were actually pretty good. Like, I could if you're going to be fine. Stuck at the low end of the Fox, I'd much rather have them than Brandon Gaudin and Robert Smith. That's putting me to sleep.
He's not bad. He got a little Ryan Dempster-y with some of the jokes, though.
Never a good thing.
No. You got the seltzer bottle out. And...
Yeah.
Guys, you got to cut to me. You got to show me in the booth. I got some props.
Yeah.
No, Mark, we've talked about this. We're not.
Guys, want to see my Harry Carey? Shut up.
How about we come back from break? I reenact the butt fumble by running into Kevin. Like, no, don't. You ask for that. You ask that every week, and Mark, we're just not going to let you do that.
We're not doing it. It's not going to happen.
The Bears' defense. I thought. Well, I mean, it's the Raiders and it's Brian Hoyer, but you can only play the teams. You can only play the offense you're playing against.
True.
And they were pretty good. Like,
too damn good for the third game in a row.
And I might have to apologize to Tremaine Edmonds, who I, like 3 weeks ago, I just said he sucks. Mm-hmm. He's been pretty good. I think I motivated him. I think he read that tweet.
Yeah.
Been pretty good since I tweeted that. So I give myself credit.
Yeah.
For turning his Bears career around. But that was against, that was Denver. When they just, they couldn't tackle anybody. And
yeah.
It's like, come on.
Right.
And ever since, he's made some nice plays. It did look for a while like the entire Raider offense, and it wouldn't be a bad plan if you were the Raiders, was just they were to throw the ball to Devontae Adams on every single play.
Right.
And for some reason, the Bears decided that Tyreek Stevenson was going to cover him on every single play. And you're like, oh, no, this is going to – and all of a sudden, it just kind of stopped working. So
yeah.
Maybe they weren't completely nuts. Because I heard somebody say, why don't they have Jalen Johnson just trail him everywhere on the field? It's like, I remember there were games where they did that.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of Jalen chasing Devontae into the end zone. That's what we got.
Yeah.
In fact, there was the one famous in the I Own You game where Jalen gave up twice on the same play. I don't know if you remember that. He was chasing Devontae. He's like, oh, shit. And he stopped. He basically stopped running. Devontae caught it, cut back to the middle of the field. Jalen started running again and then stopped again. It's like, that's not a good look twice.
Nothing but the best.
However, Jalen had probably his best game as a Bear. He had two interceptions.
Yep.
Early.
Pick six.
It was funny, though. It was just like the Kerry Blatson game has only carried the ball three times. I remember thinking to myself when Jalen got the interception, I'm like, I think he only has one interception ever. And I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. He's played for 5 years. And he looked it up, and he'd only had one interception for 3 yards. So he gets that interception. They go to commercial. They come back from commercial, and he just immediately gets another one. So now he's got three.
Nice.
And he did confirm this week on one. I don't know which show he gets paid to be on.
I think Spiegel and Parkins.
It's funny. He confirmed kind of confirmed that they're trying to work out. They're working out a long term deal with the Bears. But it kind of made it sound more like Jalen was working on a long term deal, maybe than Ryan Poles was.
David Bodie working on a long term deal with the Cubs.
It's like, all right, I have some things written down right here. I have an appointment in 2 weeks with Ryan. Well, that's after the trade deadline. It is? Oh, shit. Who was that I saw? Somebody who's normally – oh, it was Lawrence Holmes. Somebody who's normally reasonable who apparently had his column on 670 The Score about, it's time for the Bears to stop trading away young talent. It's like, okay, I think they've done it once, right?
Right.
Is that a trend? Because I don't think Big Play Bob counted as young talent last year.
Right.
Roquan
did. Only Roquan.
Roquan did.
Yeah.
But yeah, Roquan.
The headline made it seem like there's this long list of all these talented youngsters they've traded. It's a long list of one guy. It's Roquan. I mean, it's a big name and a good player, but it doesn't make it a long list, I don't think.
Yeah. They use size 48 font on it.
Yes. Like, God, look at the size of this list. How many names are on it? Well, one.
Well, just
but it's got a Q in it. Look how much it takes up almost the whole second line.
Yeah. He could have said good players. You know, that might have been a little better. Throwing a Roquan, Khalil Mack, Big Bob.
Yeah, but I mean, they all made I know what he was getting at. He was getting at don't trade Jalen Johnson. And if you're going to compare Jalen Johnson to those three, you're only comparing him to Roquan. I mean, he's a nice player, but I'm not comparing him to Khalil Mack. So, but I think the Khalil Mack trade was done with this game in mind. This was if we're going to trade him, we got to send him somewhere he's going to be happy. You know, take it easy on us.
Right.
We just want want hugs. We don't want body slams.
Three-dimensional chest there.
There you go. Take it out on his old team.
Just take it 2 years, 2 years and 8 weeks into the future, and he nailed it. He got it.
Lou should be sending Khalil Mack like Chicago weather reports leading up to this game. Yeah.
Well, not today. Khalil,
look what you're missing. I heard it's
80 degrees there today.
My it was goodness. Nice today, yeah.
What's it going to be Sunday, though?
60.
Let's check the old weather bug.
40.
Well, game's in L.A., though, right?
I'm just saying.
Mike wants to rub it in because the weather gets cold here.
I'm saying the flu should rub it in for Khalil Mack. He's not rub it in. Say, look.
Yeah. Show him the weather app on his phone.
We did you a favor. It's 80 and sunny every day, and look what we're dealing with. Take it easy on us.
The Chargers have only beaten the Vikings and the Raiders.
Oof, not an impressive look.
They have, however, played a little tougher schedule. Like their last two games, I think, were against the Cowboys and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Although the Bears, 2-2 since they played the Chiefs. Having Taylor Bears clearly inspired by having Taylor Swift in the building. They played their best football afterwards.
Clearly.
God, that was great. Did you see Taylor Swift was watching us? Whoa. I'm going to play Chiefs so much better now.
Chiefs are undefeated in that Taylor Swift era, correct?
Yeah.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although I wonder if the motivation was more so if a Matt Nagy offense did this to us, maybe we need to step it up a little bit.
Humiliation is a fine motivator. Yeah, I mean, you've seen those. Obviously, whenever the Chiefs do anything, the camera. I feel bad for the camera guy whose entire assignment is to shoot the luxury box that Taylor's in instead of the game. We're on Taylor Swift reaction shots. Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, Brittany Mahomes is like in
heaven. I was going to say.
She is so excited. And they have their own like celebratory handshake now.
Yeah.
And when they break up, somebody, they're going to need counseling for Brittany. She's going to be, maybe you get to use the old Free Brittany hashtag from Britney Spears. You're just going to have to apply it to Brittany Mahomes. She's going to be crushed.
Bring that one out of storage, dust it off.
I mean, right now, she thinks her best friend is the most famous, entertainer in the world. And, I don't know how many weeks. I don't know what the over-under on on Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce is, but it's 8.5 in 9 weeks. Poor Brittany.
Travis, don't make me have to keep hanging out with Jackson Mahomes again.
Yeah.
Thought I got rid of him.
You set the over-under at 8.5. So before the playoffs, you've got them breaking up. Interesting.
I don't know it seems like her normal. It seems to zip by pretty fast. I don't know.
Taylor Swift time, you mean?
Well, that's the only pro athlete she's ever been with, right?
Yeah. She hasn't dated Nick Madrigal?
She will soon.
Right.
Gets a look at those dainty little brown eyes. Woo! See ya. See ya, big meathead. Look at this guy. He's adorable. You can carry him around. He's like a, he's like a purse dog. He's a little purse boyfriend. Just opens up Nick sticks his head out. Hey. And zips him back up. Be perfect.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But yeah, so the Bears should be getting some reinforcements back. Looks like Roshon Johnson will be back into the running back mix. That'd be nice to get him back. What are you going to do when Khalil Herbert's back and you got all your running backs? You got too many.
You got too many guys.
It's like having got too many shortstops. You're going to have Mike Freeman's going to end up playing running back for the last game when they realize they ran out again. One of my predictions was Dante getting traded. May have to do that because his value.
You know how this is all going to play out. One of like Darrington Evans, when Khalil Herbert gets back, it'll be the week they play the Panthers. Darrington Evans will be on waivers, get picked up by the Panthers, and he'll run all over the Bears in the one game they really need to win the rest of the season.
Yeah. Cost them the number one overall pick.
Yes.
Well, I don't think Dante would want to go back. Or maybe he would. How would that say Dante Foreman, say the Bears cut him, which they wouldn't, they would trade him, but say they cut him, and he ends up on the Panthers, and it's a Dante Foreman revenge game. Who's he getting revenge against? Because the Panthers let him go first. Is he getting revenge on both teams? The team he's playing for and the team he's playing against?
He just has like a Jerome Bettis game, like 5 carries for 1 yard, but 3 touchdowns.
They're all touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought how many passes DJ Moore caught? 8 passes? Is that right? For like 9 yards?
Very quiet.
But at least they were getting the ball to him because he's so hard to tackle. I mean, that's like, you know, even if you're not going to, you know, push the ball down the field, you got to get that dude the ball because he makes things happen. You know, we had the whole, is it going to be Chase Claypool? Is it going to be Equanimeous St. Brown? The last couple weeks, but neither.
Mm-hmm.
And really haven't noticed because they're only throwing like 1 pass to Mooney, 10 passes to DJ, and that's it. But yeah, I thought it was I thought the offensive line actually played well. Like, didn't even have to really grade on a curve.
They did.
The defense played well, and they still can't put any pressure on a quarterback, which is just amazing to me. But hey, whatever.
Not to feed into like the meatball theory of keeping going with Bajan even when Justin Fields does become healthy, but isn't it a little bit easier to block when you have a non-mobile quarterback versus a mobile quarterback?
Yeah, well, there's something to be said, I think, for knowing where the guy is.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
But I think the biggest thing is Bajan, I think it was Hogan Johns, gave out the stat that Bajan held the ball for just 2.7 seconds. But they didn't give the accompanying Justin Fields stat. And, you know, even though I have my own podcast, why would I have looked that up to compare? Let's just say it's more.
Just make it up.
How much more? Is it 14 seconds? Is it 3? I don't know, but it's somewhere in there. They threw out 6 as a joke. And I'm like, okay, well, I know it's not 6. I do think that makes it easier. Although the thing Bajan's really good at, that I was thinking this, he's, whether it was in high school or at Shepherd, he was clearly well coached. Like, he moves in the pocket really well. Like, he seems to have a good feel for where guys are. Because a lot of rookie quarterbacks are running into their own dudes or cutting into, eluding one defender and running into another, you know. He right, just seems to have a good feel for where people are, which allows him then to get passes off.
Right.
But the thing about it is now Justin, his number's always going to be higher because there are times he will hold it, get out on the edge where he's like, got to run, pass. He's a threat to do either. He can afford to hold the ball a little longer because he's still making up his
move
mind
the pocket,
whether he's going to run over you or throw around you. It is pretty obvious when you see a guy who is good at making a decision, getting rid of the ball, things do work better. And we talked about it in the Minnesota game, the one pass that I'm sure Getsy had to change his shorts 2 weeks ago against the Vikings afterwards was that stupid wide receiver screen where it was the snap, basically, it was like a transference from Tyson's hands. He didn't catch it, set his feet, look, throw. He's like, I'm supposed to throw to this dude. He basically just like throws the snap and it works.
Right.
And that is how that play's supposed to work. You saw, I don't think it's fair to compare Tyson Bagent to Aaron Rodgers because clearly Tyson's already better than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, right.
Definitely. Yep.
But that's the way Rodgers throw. I guess he's still alive and he's still technically a quarterback, even though he's got one Achilles. That's how he throws that pass.
Yeah.
And it works. It was always would it be really annoying to see the Packers run it that way. Justin doesn't do it that way. Justin actually catches the ball. He doesn't do it wrong, but it takes longer. And I think given the Bears' horrific inability to block on the edge, the wide receivers are always like, I'm about to get killed. And then they usually are.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things, obviously, that Justin could do that Tyson can't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure. No, but there's no question. He looked very poised. He looked confident. I mean, he looked pretty good. He might be really good. Who knows? He might be terrible. Yep. We'll start to see now that there's a game film of him, what the Chargers do.
Yeah. All options are on the table. Eberflus said the other day that options. All options are on the table and no options are on the table. I forget. It was an empty table. He described an empty table. I don't remember how he said it.
He's tried nothing and he's all out of ideas.
Yeah. Didn't he describe his one-word description for the was complimentary football?
Complimentary
football, yeah. Hey, coach.
Which is great because there's that. They have that cut of, who was the defensive end they got from the Ravens? He only played a year. He was really good, but he was always hurt, and he went back to the Ravens. But anyway, he got asked, describe Aaron Rodgers in one word. And he goes, Hall of Fame. And then he laughs and goes, one word.
Yes. Pernell McPhee.
Pernell McPhee, yep.
Oh,
Hall
good
of
pull.
Fame.
Good pull.
One word. It's like, we know what you meant, Matt, or we think we do.
Yeah.
Make an acronym out of it. It makes it easier.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just go HOF, like you're signing a baseball.
We talked. Brandon Staley, the Chargers head coach, has a Bears background, not just the fact that he's named after the mascot, Staley.
Right.
Yes. He was on Vic Fangio's staff when Vic was there. He's also a former Northern Illinois University assistant coach.
Ooh, oh my.
Ooh, there we go.
Got that pedigree going for him.
Cal represent.
And he appears to have tried to go into a lot of heat on him this year. This is a make it or get canned year for him in LA. And he appears to have tried to go into witness protection. Have you seen the beard? It's like, no, I'm not Brandon Staley. I'm Staley Brandon. Like, no, it doesn't work.
Well, you're
still going
Staley,
for it on fourth and eight at your own 20? And it kind of pains me that he hasn't had more success in LA because he does try a lot of the things that as a fan you want, like they go for it more. We know teams don't go for it enough. Like, we know the math.
Right.
They don't go for it enough. And he's got the chart, and they go for it a lot, and they don't make it. they're like ruining the chart. It's like, no, you're not supposed. Yeah, it's one thing to go for, but don't run that play. That doesn't.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
And he's got a great quarterback. He's not having a very good year. And they can never keep their wide receivers healthy. Like Mike Williams made it like 2 weeks this year. Had like an amazing like first game and a half, and then carted him off the field, and he's out for the year.
Yeah.
You know, they've got great defensive ends, and the defense is not great. It's not bad. It's probably, you know, the Bears have been on a heater against Washington's defense. Pretty good, not great. Denver's terrible. The Vikings defense not very good. Although, you know, Vikings did happen to beat the Niners on Monday night.
Right.
Yep.
So the it's not a great defense, but it's a definite step up. It'll be a nice extra. It'll be a nice test for Tyson because
it will.
It's a definite increase in difficulty level goes up.
Yes, degree of difficulty is
gone up from not at all Madden, but he's maybe going to all pro. Denver being rookie, I guess, in that tortured analogy.
Right.
But yeah, it'll be interesting, and then we get to hear Chris Collinsworth. If Tyson plays well, it's gonna be pretty gooey.
Oh yeah.
I mean, oh, you know it.
This is a guy who tried to put Zach Wilson in the Hall of Fame in a game when he was, you know, threw for 180 yards. And if things go bad, then not so gooey.
No.
Although, I don't know, maybe you guys have noticed, do you think Chris used to be kind of a prick? Like, and he seems to be almost falsely positive in his dotage as an NFL analyst. So I wonder if he still got the, Troy can still get the axe out.
Yeah, he can.
Mm-hmm. Chris doesn't seem to do it anymore. Hopefully the Bears won't give him reason to do it. To prove me wrong. But, this is the most incompetent football team I've ever seen.
Someone's got to give Jack his next job. You know, he doesn't want to be pissing off fan bases.
Right. I think Jack is going to need a next job.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, even though Notre Dame has those primetime games, it took Notre Dame USC, a game watched by much of the nation, for people to go, who is this announcer?
Who is this guy? He sounds kind of weirdly familiar for some reason.
Who's the guy? I know the boring color analyst is the weird redhead who used to coach the Cowboys, but yeah. Who is this imp doing the game? Wow, that's Chris Collinsworth's kid. Oh, Jesus. Which is funny because they didn't do Notre Dame, Ohio State. They used their Big Ten A crew of what's Ian Eagle's kid's name? Why can't I think of his Noah.
Oh, no, Noah Eagle.
Of Noah Eagle and Todd Blackledge. You basically have the same setup, right? You've got son of a famous broadcaster. And the difference is Noah's good. So nobody complained because Noah Eagle's actually a good announcer. So even Jack can't hide behind that. They're just mad because I'm a Nepo baby. It's like, well, you got a Nepo baby doing the other games and nobody seems to mind. But so it'll be interesting to see how they, Tyson could really add to the legend.
Absolutely.
And then if he has a good game, then Justin, I think even if he can't bend his thumb, it's like, I'm fine, ready to go. Let's go. Let's get the Saints.
All good, Skip.
I'm ready.
Catch me up. I'm coming in.
Justin, thumbs up.
After a few plays, I knew you were left-handed. Yeah, I'm left-handed now. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Justin, are you trying to grip the ball with your foot?
Why are we punting? I thought that would count as a pass. I can't throw the damn thing. See, he comes out and he's wearing like the club, like the when defensive linemen break their hands. He's just got the club on his right hand.
I thought you meant the anti on the auto
he's
anti.
He's got that thing that's screwed in.
We're in that club.
Stay away from my catalytic converter, damn it.
Justin, are you sure you're healed? I'm fine. No, absolutely fine. Why are you wearing a beehive on your hand? Don't worry about it. It's proprietary technology. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. Do either of you know what the point spread is for Bears Chargers? Because if you don't know what it is, I don't think you're going to guess it, but I'm going to make you guess it.
Sunday night, I was talking with a bunch of buddies of mine because we always go over like the lines for the next game, but I have no recollection of it.
Okay. So Bears Chargers Sunday night, SoFi Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Bears will have home crowd advantage.
Mm-hmm. Waiting all day for Sunday night.
Do you want anybody want to hazard a guess what the line is?
Okay, 50, 51 or over under?
Over under is 48 and a half. But the actual,
okay.
spread.
What spread? Okay.
Chargers minus 5.5.
Okay, that's about where I thought it would be. It's not.
Really? Chargers minus 8.
Chargers minus 8.5.
Ooh.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. Holy.
So apparently Vegas, not big Tyson Bagent fans.
Vegas having just seen Tyson Bagent up close, by the way.
That's right.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Maybe they were mad. Maybe the guys in the desert lost a lot of money on Brian Hoyer. somehow taking it out on the poor Bears. So what do you think? Can the Bears cover an 8.5-point spread on the road?
I'd like to say they can do
again. Yeah, you know what? Against an underperforming team in the Chargers, I'll take the Bears in that one.
Yeah. I don't think they'll win. They're not going to win, but
lose by a touchdown.
That's right. They're giving you more than a touchdown.
They're begging you to take it.
They're trying to
give you their money.
Just take it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Two scores. Exactly. So, yeah.
And they'll lose 48-6.
Once again, we'll be the Lions.
Yeah.
Oh, the Lions run has started, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
2 of 3. On their way to 8-1, whatever that is. Yeah, so I had the schedule. I had it backwards all week. I don't know why. I had Saints and then the Chargers, but Chargers and then the Saints. Then you get the Carolina Panthers. Then you get your bye. I mean, you're 2-5 now. I mean,
that's a pretty easy road.
Are we thinking 4-6 at the bye? Go 2-1 in these three games. You have to beat the Chargers or the Saints. Then you should be able to beat the Panthers at home.
If it was in the order that you had originally thought it was,
yeah, I preferred Saints next.
Playing this week.
That's why I was doing that.
Well,
in my brain.
You could look at that a couple different ways, though. Like a not terrible team coming off a bad loss against the Jaguars.
Oh, that's true.
Might have been playing with a little bit more motivation. So I definitely see one win. Against the Panthers.
Yeah, because the Saints are going to Indy this week. Gardner Minshew. They're in their backup quarterback phase, apparently.
Yeah.
Who knows? They are probably going to get Justin.
Right.
And if you win 2 out of 3 and you're 4-6, you're getting dangerously close to the in the hunt graphic.
Oh, I think you're firmly in the hunt at that point. Yeah.
Then you go to Detroit. Oof. Which that might not go so well.
Yeah.
But you got the bye. You give the Flus an extra week to prep for the Lions.
Oh, there's no nasal, like Bobby Knight in his prime.
Oh, that's not right. I was thinking, no, there's not a bye after Carolina. I was thinking, and I wouldn't remember what I was thinking, because that's a Thursday night game. That was the next like hurdle going to have to pass.
Right.
They play the Lions, then the Vikings, then they have the bye. So if you're not going to be 4-6 at the bye.
I was going to say, I thought the bye was a little deeper into the season.
You got to play it's not like it's a good no. It's the kind of thing, if you didn't beat the Vikings at home, you're not going to beat them on the road. Although, actually you are. You know why you're going to beat them on the road?
Monday night.
It's a Monday night game. Monday night Kirk. Cousins. Primetime Kirk.
primetime Kurt.
So that's a win. So. Yeah. 4-6, 4-7, 5-7 going into the bye, probably.
Oof.
That'll get you on the graphic.
And then the run out to the after the bye. Lions, Browns, Cardinals, Falcons, oof, Packers. Wow. I don't even see a loss there.
Not even murder. Yeah, not exactly murderer's row.
Woo!
Yeah.
Huh. 10-7. Probably hosting a wild card game.
Right. Okay.
That's gonna be great. Flew's coach of the year.
Yep.
Oh, how it all turned around.
Extend everybody.
Mm-hmm. Especially yeah. Tyson Bagent.
Yeah, Justin. Justin gets a max contract. Tyson, they just rip up the contract. Like, look, we know we're gonna have you dirt cheap for the next 4 years. You earned it. Here's $100 million. Fadge is just handing it to him in the locker room.
Yeah.
You're a young fella. Congratulations.
$100. No.
$100 million. You remind me just of Clyde.
Maybe you should just call him Clyde. That should be the whoever Vag's favorite player is in any given season has to play the entire year as Clyde.
Mm.
Yes.
He picks one, and the whole season you're Clyde. Doesn't matter what your name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Present that right on the same day as the Brian Piccolo Award.
The Clyde Award. Like, oh, God, I got to change my name to Clyde for a year? Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Cairo. You have to be Clyde.
Yeah,
Clyde
yes, Santos. Yeah. You have to put it on the back of the jersey, right? Just as
yeah,
Clyde.
Just Clyde. It all says Clyde. You don't even get a number anymore. You just Clyde.
Right. Clyde had no Clyde didn't need no numbers.
Yeah. Your jersey will just be that list that Lawrence Holmes came up with of yeah. young players traded away.
Just broke out of huge letters on the back of the shirt. I'm so confused by the Bears uniforms. Speaking of uniforms, so the Eagles played on Sunday Night Football, and they wore mm-hmm. their Buddy Ryan era, the Kelly Green, the Randall Cunninghams, right?
Yep.
And to me, that's as Bear fans, we don't have to deal with this, but I think the Patriots are in the same boat, and maybe the Giants. Although the Giants, it's funny, they went from like their 80s jerseys when they finally updated them, they gave them kind of a 60s feel with the NY back on the helmet and the pants and stuff. But there are teams mm-hmm. who, when they wear their throwbacks are nicer than mm. their regular uniforms. And I think it was on Good Morning Football. I was watching a day early and ready. I was prepping for Angry Runs. Kyle Brandt was like, no, you shouldn't. These should be, he was wearing one of the Kelly Green Eagles jerseys on the set. He's like, no, you keep this as a special thing. Like, it's what keeps it special. Like, you don't just turn it into your uniform. You break it out for big games, like, twice a year. And that's what you do. Right. But I was thinking about it with the Bears, and so I even had to go look up the year. One of the things, it's kind of boring almost, right? When the Bears do a throwback, like, they had to go back to the 30s to find the Wicked Witch of the West striped ones that they've got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they've basically had the same uniform since 1949. 49 was the yep. year they added what they called the TV numbers, the numbers on the shoulders. And then there were some years they screwed with them for a while in the 70s. And it's the only reason I even know this is from Butkus highlights, where you will see Butkus like in the block number white jerseys. They just look weird. And apparently in 1972 and 73, for a few home games, not even all of them, that was like the trend in the NFL. The Steelers were hot. They had the oversized block numbers, and you know the Browns had worn it for. Actually, it was kind of standard. But the Steelers were the most popular team, and the Bears were like, "Hey, we could sell a few jerseys at Woolworth or wherever the hell you bought a jersey in 1972."
Right.
And so they screwed with the uniform then, but that's about it. They basically have stuck with the same ones now since 1949, and. Frankly, I'm all for it. When you find a good uniform, don't fuck it up.
No, it's a great classic look for sure. Just like the Bulls too. Like, Bull uniform has barely ever changed since their inception.
To me, the craziest thing about the Bulls is they've never had another. They've only had the one logo.
Right.
Like, that was their logo when they started. And they're like, oh, we nailed it. We're just keeping
it. Kicking it. They did.
And then at some point, somebody realized if you turn it upside down, it looks like an alien reading a book. And that made it even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even... the Bulls have had some... They had some uniforms, though, over the years that were a little... But they always stuck with the same thing. And then Jerry Krause is the one who basically, like, locked them back into the, you know, the very simple Bulls on the front. I remember it was a big deal when they put when the names on the back, somewhere in the middle of the title run, went to the letters with the trim on them. Because the early ones are just like, there's some dude in the back literally ironing on letters for the player's name.
Yeah.
They upgraded that. But yeah, that's good. I would like to see the baseball team on the north side finally get a road uniform that isn't the dullest thing that anyone has ever made.
Yeah.
I don't understand why would they still wear those. But
I wonder, one thing... One of the very few things I've always liked about the White Sox is the script Chicago on their road uniforms. I wonder, is that something that, like, they can, like, put a veto on the Cubs ever doing if they wanted to? Because I think that would be a cool look if they ever tried that.
Because it's a good question, because there's weird stuff. Like, the Cubs, the home uniforms, the Cubs, the patch, is the only, that's the only part of any team's uniform that has the trademark symbol on it. It literally the Cubs, the TM is on the patch, because they just basically took the logo and they literally turned it into a patch and they have it on there. They were the only team that had the league patch on the blue, you know, the alternate blues had the national league patch. And the reason they did was because the alternate blues have the crawling Cub on them, and how stupid would it look to then also put it on a shoulder. So I'm sure whoever took over for Yosh is sitting there like, well, we need a patch. I don't know. We got a bunch of these fucking things laying around. All right, I'll sew these on. So they put them on. They took them off in preparation for their sponsorship, and then they didn't do a sponsorship, except for the two games in London.
Right.
Which I was sure was just – I didn't think those things were ever going to – I thought that's – they go to London, they put the advertising patch on the jersey, it's there forever. They came back, and they weren't there.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. Soon enough, there will be a North Shore adult diapers ad on there.
Just a big diaper.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't think they're going to get the Connect Roasters patch? Don't you think that's part of Ian's deal that kicks in next year?
Probably, yeah.
Right.
I want a no-trade and a Connect Roasters sponsorship patch.
There was a whole thing, the guy who writes, Paul Lucas, the guy who writes... Jersey Watch. It used to be on, maybe still on Page 2 on ESPN. He went through all the Cubs were like literally like uniform innovators over the years. Like they did cool stuff first. They were the first to have like the vest jerseys. They have their road pants are the only ones that have the logo on them. They have the little Cubs logo on the hip. He even went into this thing about their gray is like a different gray than everybody else's because they wanted a lot of the grays have he was really getting nerdy like the Cardinals gray has like green in it, that's what helps makes it gray. The Cubs wanted, because they're the Cubs wanted blue, so their gray is a different tint than other teams because it's got Cubby blue in it somehow. But there was an article on Carlos Zambrano was in it. No, I know what it was. It was me looking up something on an old DeCipio post. And I saw a picture of Carlos pitching in the Cubs in the throwbacks. It was a road throwback. I think he was pitching at Dodger Stadium. And it's the jersey made most famous from the two iconic Norman Rockwells. The one with the bat boy and the one with the and it's got Chicago in blue, and then it has the like almost
underline.
Like, yeah, the little like kind of curved red underline, and it's nice. It's like but just it's... do that.
Yeah. So, yeah,
nothing like the last 5 minutes of a Bears pod being about how the Cubs could improve their road uniforms.
Right.
But there you go.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Bears are on a roll. They won one in a row for the second time this season. 2-5, distancing themselves from the pack.
The herd.
Actually, no, because all the one win teams won. They all just moved at the same. They all just stayed in the exact same spot. Nobody moved up. Nobody moved down.
Right. Yeah.
Clearly, the Bears are the best of that bunch.
Oh, obviously, yeah. No question.
Getting ready to fulfill the juggernaut that we all predicted they would be. So a week from now, we'll talk about how they whooped up on the Chargers.
Can't wait.
All right. Let's go.
All right.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Many
of us have herpes.